because I had never experienced that in my life until literally the last year. Like, I think I'd gone 19 years of my life with nothing, and then, like, all of a sudden, instantly just, like, was starting to get, like, anxiety or whatever and shit like that, and I was like, God damn, is this what people have been talking about? I was like, all right, yeah, no, I get it. You can't just, like, not have it, you know what I mean?
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 49 of the Mad Happy Podcast. I'm Payman, and today we're really excited to introduce Josh Richards. We were lucky to do this episode in person a couple weeks ago. Really excited for you guys to hear it. I think just a really good story of, you know, similar to Noah, how they just came up, started making TikToks, and really started picking up there, and really how Josh has been able to get accustomed to life in the limelight and how he's thinking about his career, his mental health, and how he wants to continue to get better each and every year. I think a lot of humility in the conversation that we really enjoyed having, and always great to have them in person. So excited about that. For those that don't know, we are also now in Mental Health Awareness Month. We'll be doing a bunch of stuff. So make sure you tune in both on the podcast as well as across socials on Mad Happy and Local Optimist. Really, really important month for us overall. I think we try to make sure that while we talk about mental health year-round, really, really take May to put it on as big of a spotlight as possible. We're doing a bunch of billboards again, a lot of cool elements coming there on the 3D side as well, so look out for that. We have some cool apparel coming, a lot of really good podcast episodes, a lot of really good content, and some cool initiatives, so definitely stay on the lookout for those. And yeah, that's it. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. As always, please leave us reviews if you're liking the show, and send in your questions at podcast@madhappy.com. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Josh Richards. We thought it would be, you know, it'd be great to have you on because I feel like so much has happened in your life over the past like 2 years that like it's pretty amazing. So congrats on that.
Thank you.
But also, I'm sure there's been like so many like ups and downs in that journey. But I guess before we get there, I would love to hear about your background. I know you grew up in Canada and came from like a small town, and then like now we're in LA, this like huge, massive city. So would love to hear that and can get into it.
Yeah. I mean, it all started for me, like, at least the social media aspect of it started for me when I was 14. I love telling the story because it's kind of like, it's a big shout out to my sister. She was actually the one that got me into social media to start off. So she posted a video of me on her account, or got me to get in some type of like dance video on Musical.ly at the time. It wasn't TikTok, but in our heads that went viral, like, I mean, mega viral. It had 50 likes, but to us that was mega viral. Like, we were running around the house like screaming, and I remember just thinking after that, like, this was so fun. Like, this was so rewarding. Like, I got to make a bunch of people like we had a bunch of comments, people like laughing, or I had like a couple girls being like, what's is that? So I was kind of like, you know, feeling myself a little bit. And then I went and made my own account, and I was always a really competitive person. Like, grew up playing sports, grew up playing hockey, lacrosse, like basketball, swimming, cross country. So instantly kind of put a competition on it where it was like, okay, if I hit 10,000 followers by the end of the summer, I'll keep doing this. And then if I don't, it's kind of like, you know, it wasn't meant to be. So started posting like 3 times a day. My sister and I, we'd sit beside each other. I'd go live every night for 4 hours from 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. And she'd be on the family iPad logged into my account, and she'd actually go through the leaderboards of like the top spending gifters, and she'd follow them like 15 of their posts and just move on to the next person, doing it to like 200 people a night. And this way we were kind of going direct to consumer, targeting the highest paying customer, instead of just like hoping they were going to find my account, right? Mm-hmm. And that way I was like giving her 15% commission-based salary, like off of whatever we made on the lives. And that's kind of like where it all started, was just like this little business venture me and my sister kind of found through social media, and we were doing these live streams out of my parents' basement, and slowly but surely it kind of kept growing and growing. And I started seeing these events like Playlist Live and VidCon, Started going to those, networking with a couple other people in the social media industry, making some friends. Went from there to get invited on a tour. And from that tour, Lights Out tour and Boys of Summer, really got to make some of my best friends, like Anthony, who still lives with me to this day. And we kind of started our group of Sway, and then now, yeah, here.
It seems like that all happened like really fast. For you guys, were you even kind of aware of how things were moving? Like, was it kind of just spontaneous because it was such a new industry? Or it seems like you guys were kind of calculated in like how you and your sister were kind of doing things at first.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is a lot of people think my blow up was a lot quicker than it was, because I started doing social media when I was 14, 13, and then I blew up like very quickly when I was 17. So it was like a really, really slow start, kind of like growing maybe a couple of tens of thousands of followers like a year and not really making a splash in the industry. And then once the tour happened, that's when it kind of just boomed. Like that one summer, it just like went all big. And that one,
what do you
time,
mean by
right?
tour, by the way?
Yeah. It was like a social media tour, kind of like, okay. Imagine for people that wouldn't know, I would say like, imagine honestly, like a book tour, right? You're going to meet your favorite author. They're like signing something for you, signing a book, signing a poster, whatever it is. You got to talk to them for a couple minutes, take a picture. And then usually what we would do is like before the picture started, before that lineup started, we'd have kind of like a VIP experience, like 45 minutes. Like people could come in and just like mingle, talk, film TikToks, do whatever. And then after, we'd go on stage for like an hour and talk to the fans, do like a Q&A portion, kind of like do different games, interacting with the people out there, do challenges between the boys up on the stage.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of what the tour was.
And was the tour kind of the moment for you where you're like, this is real? Like,
yeah,
I'm going to do this.
Yeah, that was the moment where I think, because it put faces to the numbers of likes and comments I was getting on my posts, right? Like, I'd never, being from such a small town, I never really got noticed. Like, everyone in my town already knew me just because, like, our town's so small. You know everyone in your town.
Yeah.
And so, doing this tour was the first time anyone had ever really been like, hey, can I get a picture with you? Or, like, I had that kind of interaction. So that was the first moment ever I got to put a face to all those likes and comments that I was getting, and it was a really cool feeling. Yeah,
when you start feeling it's real, like it's really exciting at the beginning, I'm sure it's like all just like excitement and energy, and then eventually you move to LA. Like, I guess what was the first moment that you're like, oh, like it's not all just like fun and games, and it's like a little more serious, or like, oh, this is like harder than I thought in different ways, relationships, like anything that you remember being like that first experience?
I think it was probably when the boys just kind of, we started getting a little bit caught up in like that LA lifestyle, you know, with people like Bryce in the house, who's just like straight up, like he owns it. His brand is Party Animal, right? And us all kind of like feeding off each other's energy. We started like partying a lot. And I think being young, like being 17, it just easily, like I kind of easily fell into it, and we were doing that for probably 4 months straight, and that just started to create kind of a lazy nature around the house. I think people's content started getting sluggish, and we started losing brand deals because of like content we were posting, not really focusing on our I guess having that ideal like brand for different companies. But yeah, that would be the moment when I realize, shit, LA isn't just like, you know, this glam and glory. Like there's definitely a dark side to this place.
So did you drop out of school and move out here?
Yeah. I dropped out of high school. Was in my senior year, and I left to come out here.
What was that decision like? Was it hard? Were you getting pressure from your parents, or how did it kind of go down?
Yeah, it's, for me it was an easy decision. Like, yeah, for me it was like no brainer. Like I had to do that. But my dad was a calculus teacher at my high school. Like, so like my parents were very much so like the, you need to have 90% and higher. Like you got to be in a high honor student. They thought I was going to be a lawyer when I was younger, just cause they thought I was great at arguing. And then, when I came to them and was like, hey, I don't even think I'm going to finish high school. It was definitely a shock. Right. But at the same time, they also knew me as the kid that was like sitting out in the sun for 5 to 6 hours when I was only 10 years old, picking weeds on neighbors' lawns to make like $10, right? So they knew I was always a hustler and someone that was trying to make money, and I was this business-minded kid. So I think they just had a lot of faith in me, and they started really early on, I would say, supporting me in my social media endeavors, like bringing me to the events, if it was Playlist or VidCon, like I was talking about earlier, and meeting with different managers or people that were in the space. So like, I have nothing but like love to give to my parents, because I don't think I would be able to have been where I am today without my parents, you know, coming with me, and my dad like paying for his own plane ticket to come and bring me to those events and everything like that. Like, yeah. So I just have big props to them.
Yeah. I think it really is all about parents being supportive and kind of understanding of like what the right path is for their kid. I know I dropped out of school after my first semester, freshman year of college, and also kind of just felt like it wasn't for me, and
yeah,
didn't really know what I wanted to do yet at the time. And my first call was literally to my mom about like, hey, I don't think this is working out for me. And without her kind of unconditional love and support, I feel like I would have just kind of stayed doing what I was doing, just because I didn't know there was another option. And I feel like so many kids in high school or college or whatever, they're kind of just on one path because they think that's like the normal or right thing to do, and don't often have the ability to really like stop and look around and kind of see like what's best for them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Also, like that parent, your parents' like affirmation, or like them kind of putting their trust in you or telling you it's going to be okay, like that's such a confidence booster, right? Like, because everyone looks at their parents as like, oh, look, they have it set up, right? So yeah, just having that support from a parent, I think, gets you to, or allows you to make something happen, even if you weren't necessarily able to before. Like, you just have that newfound belief in yourself.
My sense is like you grew up as like a very like confident kid in the way of like, I'm going to figure out how to like be successful. And like, maybe when you were growing up in Canada, it wasn't that you were going to be like a social media star, but you like knew and believed in yourself from like early on. I'm wondering, first, is that true?
Yeah. I was always that kid. Yeah. Like, kind of like, I mean, I always say like, since as long as I can remember, I feel like the age was probably around like 5-6 years old. I would like lay down before I went to bed, and it was kind of like a meditation, kind of like a prayer, just like saying like praying to God or praying to whatever. Just like, I know the name Josh Richards will be known. I don't know how. I didn't know how as a kid. When I was younger, I thought I was going to be Ben 10, right? I thought I was going to be a superhero. Yeah. Like, but as I got older, that same kind of like base to that want always, it always remained, right? Like, that name is going to be known. Eventually it became like, oh, I'm going to be an NHL superstar. And then it was like, oh, maybe I'm going to be like, I'm going to have like a hockey shirt company, because I started one of those when I was in like grade 6. And then it was like, it kind of just kept changing. But I knew it was going to be like out there. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I feel like it's still a big jump to go from like a 15 person like town in Canada to like now living in LA and like trying to make it and be successful. Did you feel like a new sense of like pressure that you hadn't felt before? Or were you like, oh, this is my path and I'm just like making the most of it and like, let's go?
I think when I first came out here, it was almost like a rush of adrenaline, right? Like, at the very beginning, it was just go. Almost like I had the horse blinders on. Like, nothing kind of could stop me. I was like invincible in my own head. But I think over the past year, there's been a lot of just like realizing like, oh shit, you know, like I'm becoming an adult now. I can't be a kid anymore. And there's definitely part of that like that's like scary, or like there's a pressure to it, right? Because it's like, I'm now setting up for my future and like, well, you know, my family's future or whatever. And it's kind of scary that you can't be a kid anymore at one point. And I like, obviously if I could, I feel like I would want to be a kid forever. Like, you get to be able to go and make mistakes and have fun and figure your life out. But when you have a camera on you all the time and also tens of millions of people watching, it's really hard to be a kid and like make mistakes and grow up and learn those lessons, because you're getting ridiculed for all those mistakes at the same time by, again, millions of people. Right. So it's like, it's harder to learn and not beat yourself up and kind of like be harsher on yourself than you really should, because like, everybody makes those fucking mistakes, man. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's goes through their own like demons and vices and battles, and they got to figure it out themselves. So to have people also like just kind of like taunt you or to like say hurtful things to you at the same time while you're going through that stuff, it's just like, of course, an added pressure.
Yeah. One thing I'm wondering is like, I do feel like though, and it's just from my perspective, that like you do seem like more like mature than like your age probably. And like, it, especially in like comparison to like other people in the space, do you feel like that, like you learned that pretty quickly? Like you said, like you were partying a lot and then you were like, oh, like I need to make a change. And like, if I'm going to like have longevity, like how did you think about that? Cause I feel like you do think about it.
Yeah. I think I made a lot of fucking mistakes. I think that's really what it was. Like, you learn from your mistakes, right? And when you fall, like I always say, like, you don't get judged by how hard you fell. You get judged by like how quickly you pick yourself back up. And I had a lot, I had a few really, really good people around me, and I was lucky to have that in LA. Like, I had people like Michael Gruen, who's a friend of mine, and I have my buddy Gavin that came out here, and people like Anthony, and they were kind of able to, I think, you know, like, when I was at like a low point or down, they're able to kind of give you that pep talk or be like, all right, like, kind of like, let's go back to that home base, or like, yo, dude, maybe you need to go home for a week and just kind of remember where you came from and everything like that. So I think it's like, it's really important to keep that inner circle like tight and close to you.
Yeah, definitely.
So I want to talk about the house for a sec, because I think I don't really like understand it. So you basically moved out here into a house with a bunch of guys that you hadn't really met in person yet, but we're just all kind of famous through social media. Is that right?
We had definitely hung out for a little bit before we moved into a house together. We went on the tour without knowing each other, that's for sure. Right. So it was kind of like a boy band aspect, right? Yeah. Like, or like how, like, when you think of like One Direction, it's like they all are on this show singing, right? And it's like, oh, we're actually just going to put all five of you together. Here you go. You're a band now.
Yeah.
So it was kind of this one guy look like sees all of us kind of doing well on social media and goes, all right, all eight of you, I want you to come on this tour. Go, like, make do your thing.
Yeah.
And so we had, a couple of us had met at events before, like Playlists, a couple of times, said hello, like acquaintances, you know what I mean? Like known of each other just because we were in the same space.
Yeah.
But hadn't really become those close friends yet. And that's where we really made those like friendships and bonds. And from there, went to LA after tour ended. Summer was still going on. So we were all like, hey, why don't we like kind of keep this going? All our social media is growing like crazy right now. Let's continue this momentum and keep posting together, network more, meet more creators out in LA. And that's when we met Bryce Hall. That's like when we went to his house. I DM'd him. I was like, hey, me and my boys are out in LA right now, just like trying to like hang out with new people and everything. You cool if we slide to your house? And he was like, yeah, for sure. So we went over there, started getting him back into TikTok, as he like had done Musical.ly but stopped doing it and was doing just like YouTube at that point. Mm-hmm. So we were getting him back in it and stayed kind of bumming on his couch for like 2-3 months, like I would say, of just like flying back and forth between our hometowns and LA. And then we were kind of just all like, yo, this is killing, this is crushing for our social medias, why don't we make this a more permanent thing? Let's all move into a house together and really start sway.
That's cool. I mean, I feel like on the one hand, it was so nice for you guys to have each other kind of all discovering this new thing and like being able to have peers and like friends that were kind of going through it together. And on the other hand, I feel like it's interesting because, like you said, there was kind of someone who curated you guys as a group almost. It's not like it was forced, but it definitely wasn't like you guys sought each other out. Was that kind of like weird in any way? And especially turning it into like a business, how were you able to kind of navigate like what's genuine and what's not, and like what's everyone's best interest at heart? And was that kind of hard to form like genuine friendships for you?
I mean, I feel like I'm a person that instantly just like wants to be, I kind of want to like be friends with everybody. Right. Even though I do, like, I think that's what made me learn the lesson pretty quickly. Like, yo, you got to keep your circle tight, dog. Like, you can't be best friends with everyone. You can't have 15 best friends. Yeah, I was always that person that was like, I want to be close to people. I want to like have a good relationship with everyone. And I think that's why you see like Sway isn't what it was when it first started, is because like we were just kind of put together, right, in a way. And all the guys are still like pretty cool with each other and we're all still like friends and everything. But we didn't grow up with each other since we were 4 years old, right? We weren't those like childhood friends that it kind of like, it was portrayed, I would say, as on social media sometimes. Like, we had known each other for, like, 4-3 months, and we were, like, living together. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of, like, a crazy thing to meet someone when you're, like, 18, know them for 2 months, and live together. I mean, it's like university or college, right? Like,
exactly.
I guess it's not that fucking nuts. You're put into a dorm, you're put into whatever with a roommate. You might not know them at all, and it's like, you don't know if you're going to be really good friends with that person or not. You end up, like, becoming, like, you know, you get along, you got to make do no matter what. But I think like it was a good group to get put together for sure. And out of everyone that could have been picked to go in it, like it was a group that worked pretty well together.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny for you to compare it to almost your university experience, because I feel like that's exactly what it was. And yeah. now being like a few years removed from it, you've graduated or whatever, right. and are kind of moving on. And I can definitely relate to you in surrounding yourselves with like people from your hometown or like that you grew up with. I feel like it's just such a good sense of grounding. And even me, as I get older, I find myself gravitating more towards like those people that I did grow up with. And I feel like really knew me like before we started Mad Happy or like before anything happened, is just really getting a sense of like who I am. And I feel like allowing me to be myself. And especially for you, I feel like at times you might have to feel like I have to put on this face to do this, or when the camera's on, I'm like this. Do you ever struggle with kind of like your personality or like having to act a certain way around a certain place and like kind of questioning your identity at all in that way?
Yeah, I think right now I'm at like a really, really solid place with like how I carry myself online and how I carry myself in person. And I've like been able to make it to where it's like as authentic as it can be.
Like, but you think about it as just like one and the same.
Yeah. But I would say that's a relatively new thing. I would say that's like within the last like month, I've really been able to, I would say, figure that out. Like, and there was, I would say it's like really recent, actually, probably go back a month. And then that 6 month period, it was like a really hard time for me, and just kind of like finding myself again. I think it was just like I'd gone through a really lost period for a while, and it was just it kind of felt like every day I was like going through the same motion, and I was like I'm going through the motions, because I didn't want to sit around and not do anything, but it just felt like I wasn't like going anywhere. I was like swimming in place, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, eventually kind of like figured out a couple things in my life, and just like realizing like, dude, you can take control of your own life a little bit here. Like, and started just doing more things that I wanted, like brought me peace of mind, and like making sure I was really like getting even just little things like working out every day or getting out to go and like play hockey more and just do things like that. Yeah. I think really actually just helped me become me again, if that makes sense.
What were the things that you think were like holding you down a little bit, or like too much of like a burden on you, that like you felt like you couldn't be you? Was it just like there's too much going on, so that you're just sort of just like floating from thing to thing? Like, is that what
it was? I think there was too much going on. I think there was also too many people in my ear.
Yeah.
I think it had come to a point where like people make such a big deal over things sometimes that just aren't a big deal. It's like, we're all still going to be here tomorrow. Like, yo, just put a pin in it. Like, we'll figure it out later. There's no need to like go crazy over it right now. And it's like, I was a very, like we kind of talked about, I was a very confident kid growing up, right? Like, I never experienced like stress really, or like anxiety or any of these things. And like, I would say it made it really hard to be, or to understand when people said they were anxious or stressed. I was kind of just like, just don't be. Like, you know what I mean? Because I'd never experienced that in my life until literally the last year. Like, I think I'd gone 19 years of my life with nothing. And then, like, all of a sudden, instantly just, like, was starting to get, like, anxiety or whatever and shit like that. And I was like, God damn, is this what people have been talking about? I was like, all right, yeah, no, I get it. You can't just, like, not have it. You know what I mean? But, I think just having so many people in my ear, like, making such a big deal over little things and, like, just so worried about posting and money and all that stuff. And this meeting and that meeting and these people we have to impress. And it's just like, well, dude, I understand like making really good business connections and, you know, like getting your stuff up on time and doing all that. But if it's driving me like to a place where I'm just not mentally happy, or I am going through motions and I'm kind of just being that robotic person, like, what's the point of doing it?
Yeah. And what was it like, I guess like the first time you felt like anxious or like worried or like something, like, cause like, it seems like it was very unfamiliar to you. I would say like I had a similar experience where I didn't really have any feelings of like anxiety my whole life until I was probably like 22. And then I was like, oh shit, like this is like something real and I need to like figure it out and what that means for myself. But like, what was that like for you?
I mean, I kind of just remember like lying in bed and being like super just like antsy, right? Like it was just like, first time ever experiencing, like, kind of just, like, didn't know what to do with myself, like, kept trying to, like, solve the problem instantly, because I was always just someone that's, like, oh, if there's an issue, like, solve it, and it's kind of, like, I was just getting deeper and deeper and deeper into that kind of, like, anxious hole, right, like, trying to solve this problem over and over again, and I think, like, trying to dive too deep into it kind of just started eating me up. And I mean, over the last month, I've had people come up to me and be like, dude, like, what happened? Like, you seem like so different. Like, you seem like yourself again, like stuff like that, right? Like, just because, like, I think I start to let go of a few things and, like, just, like, be like, you know what? Shit's going to happen. Like, that's life a little bit. And I started, like, separating myself from things that I knew brought me anxiety. And that was, yeah, just really able to, like, make me, I think, like, me again.
Yeah. I know you mentioned, like, working out and playing puck again and things like that. Was there anything else that you did that feel like really helped you turn the corner, like reach out to anyone or kind of get help in any other way? Was it something that you shared with like your followers or something that you wanted to keep more personal? Or like, what else did your support kind of look like to get to this place now?
Yeah. I mean, I'm someone that doesn't like share emotion very much. Right. So like doing like a podcast like this is like pretty like crazy for me.
Yeah.
But
why do you think that is?
I'm the same way, by the way, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like,
I'm the exact opposite.
I think it's like, I don't know. I don't think my dad was like a very like necessary. It's not like I know my dad loves me so much and everything like that. But it's like, I feel like when I was a kid, you know, my mom would be like, come in, tuck me into bed or whatever, be like, oh, I love you. And like, my dad's not going to like come in and give me a hug and a kiss and be like, love you. And it's just like, it's a mom thing to do.
You didn't have that example.
So it's like, it was like for my dad. So I kind of took that as the example of like, you know, dude's supposed to like be a little bit more like to themselves. Like they kind of just go through it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they don't talk about their mental health problems. It's just like shit happens. You move on. Like, so I don't know. Yeah. I just always have been that person that's like, I'll just deal with it. Or like, I would always just like push it down if I was ever upset or something. I would just be like, fuck it, move on. Like, that's just kind of like the person I've been. So yeah, just, I guess like talking about it or trying to deal with it is just like a brand new thing to me. So like, I started like journaling. Like, that's one thing like I started doing that definitely, like, I would say like helped me, just realize like how I was kind of feeling. Like, even if it's just like, it's kind of like this weird mix between like writing almost like lyrics or writing like a poem type of thing.
Yeah.
And even if it's an awful fucking poem, it's just like, it gets my, like, you know what I mean?
That.
It gets
my
like, just things like I know I would never say to someone, but it's just like those like feelings that you get built up inside of you. You just like get that shit out. And then I'm able to like move on, I think.
Yeah. I mean, so much of the work that we're trying to do and that we're so passionate about is like having people understand that mental health is a part of their life, like no matter what. So even just to hear you tell that story, it like makes me so happy for someone to just discover like that it is a real thing. Because before you experience it, like you said, it's like so hard to understand or relate, 100%. Especially when you grow up like playing sports like you and Payman did and being super competitive. It's like, all right, like we could beat this game or we could find the answer to the problem and things like that. And obviously we all know now that like mental health and our personal lives are so much more complicated than that. And the biggest beauty in everything to me is now you sitting here saying you're in the best place that you feel like you've ever been. And that's because you went through a period where things weren't so great. Right.
Yeah.
So like, I think that is really the key to all of this, is that those times where we're struggling are actually so important, because that's where we really can take a look at ourselves, take inventory, like relook at everything and how we want to build our life. And then we can come back out of it. And like, that's how we ride that high.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't like, if you don't, oh, my dog's going to come join the podcast. If you don't, you know, like do what like I was doing for a while of like pushing it down or like numbing yourself in some type of facet, you do get to figure out so much about who you are, right? Like when you do kind of endure that little bit of a shitty time, like it was like a shitty time for me, like I said, for probably 6 months, maybe even longer. And if I didn't go through that, one, I think like it helped me mature and like grow as a person, but two, like I would never have gotten to be able to fully, I think, find myself again and like be that happy person I am right now.
Yeah. I think for someone that's like, you know, I also grew up like very competitive, like play basketball, but I just wanted to be like the best at everything I did.
Oh yeah.
And still now, you know, like competitiveness is like something that like I can't just like leave to the side. Like you're kind of just like born with it and have it. But I think like there's different places in my life now that I'm like, oh, I don't need to be competitive about this, you know? And I think that made it harder for me to like ever, it was the same thing. Like I felt like, oh, like I could just move on. Like, how do I fix this? And then move on, move on, move on. Versus like actually thinking about it and accepting it, which is like a whole different like toolkit that like I definitely didn't have and I've only recently started developing. And I think things like writing it down in a journal and like your eyes seeing it or like saying it out loud and your mind hearing you say it out loud, those things really allow you to like unlock that a little bit. I'm curious, like now, you know, as you think about, you know, kind of what's next, I read, you know, that like you, you know, you're not as like social as you used to be, right? Mm-hmm. You don't go out as much. You're like more like focused on yourself. Like, are those things like conscious decisions around like how you want to set up your life, like the balance you're trying to bring into it, knowing that there's so much going on still?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like, I've kind of turned it a little bit more into like, you know, quality over quantity. Like I, at one point it was just going out every single night, like boom, boom. And then now it's more like when there is a really cool event going on or, you know, like there's an opportunity, like Brianna's out in Fort Lauderdale and I happen to be visiting my family in Kissimmee and she has her Sleep When You're Dead tour. And she's like, yo, come out to this. It's like, all right, yeah, it's gonna be awesome time. Good content. Yeah. Like, but it's become a lot more of like going out for probably my job, like, you know, getting content and doing things like that and getting to have a fun time while doing it. But unless I'm doing something like that, more than likely I'm going to be outside, like playing basketball or going out on the ice or just chilling with the boys at home, like watching anime or something like that. Just cause like I've found like, that's just kind of like what's been able to make me like have better time, relax, get to like think about my day, you know?
Yeah. And I'm curious, like, how are you thinking about, you know, like you said, there's so many different things you're doing, right? The podcast, the studio, the investing, all this stuff. Like, how do you think about like setting up this like business around Josh and having it like live on for many, many years, right? Because I feel like there's so many people that are just here for a little and then they're gone. Like, how are you thinking about setting yourself up for that longevity?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just about continuing to diversify and kind of branching out, right? Like it started out with just kind of doing TikTok. And then once we started Sway and we kind of saw that really take off, me and Bryce were like, all right, what's next? Okay, move to YouTube, right? And then it was like, all right, let's build our YouTubes up. And then after YouTube, the next like gradual move was like, all right, I've been able to really do well in this like female space, like in that demographic with TikTok and YouTube. How do I kind of go and touch into more of that like male demographic? And then there was the Barstool podcast, right? So then that gives me not only, I would say like more longevity, but also a completely different demo to tap into. And then Dave also gets a different demo to tap into, right? So it's kind of that like great little partnership there. And I think that that's been able to do so well that I see that being a partnership that lasts for a really long time with Barstool or at least until like Dave is out of Barstool or whatever. But I think continuing to do things like that, getting to go and partner with Mark Wahlberg, right? Move into another new space, the entertainment industry, into really like starting to produce unscripted and scripted TV and film. So continually finding kind of what's next or that next space to tackle, like we did with the venture fund as well, right? And getting into that space with Animal Capital. I think that just allows you to stay on the pulse, like stay in the zeitgeist and stay on everyone's mind as well.
When you think about making your content now, I'm curious, like I know for me, like when we started to get successful, I feel like the way that I would think about doing certain releases or like moves that we would make would kind of have to change once there's like pressure and expectations, and then we kind of build this demographic and then we have to cater to them in some way. Like
she's gonna come join you guys. Yeah, she's gonna come sit like right in the middle.
Do you feel like your kind of mindset around making content has like changed in any way where like she's got her ass in my face?
Hey buddy, what are you doing, girl? Get down. What are you trying to join the pod? What you doing?
You know what I mean though? Like Do you feel like you still get to make stuff that you really want, or like I have to make this stuff because it's for them, or I've established what my brand is, and like sometimes you have to make shit that you don't like necessarily?
I would say I get to do a lot of what I want to do now, and that has a kind of, oh my goodness, yo buddy, I'm gonna have to take you out of this room. Come on, she's like, why is no one spending any of their time on me? Hey buddy, come on,
get out of here, go.
You want to, like, you can bring her into that, like, back room or that office over there. Yeah, yeah. I don't know who let her out.
Lock
her
up.
I think she was supposed to be.
Lock up, buddy, right now. We got to get this girl a treat ASAP.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry about that.
No. It's all good.
She's crazy.
You know what I mean, though, in that way?
Yeah, I think there was a time where that definitely started to happen. And I started realizing, like, I'm having to censor myself, or I have to edit out some of these things that I think are funny, but, you know, the internet might not agree with every joke I make, or a brand might think it's a little bit, like, edgy. So that did start to happen. But I think as times went on and I've made certain decisions, like, I think teaming up with Barstool has allowed me to get away with a little bit more.
Totally.
Just because I have a different audience now. And that's allowed me to really start making more content that I want to make. And that's been kind of the goal since I started realizing, oh, shoot, I am having to censor myself, is to be able to get to that point where it's like, I can make whatever type of content I want to make, and no one can really tell me, like, don't post that.
And is there, like, a through line of, like, the message you want to be, like, spreading to, like, your audience? Like you said, you have a bunch of different audiences, but, like, what do you want, like, Josh Richards content to, like, be known for, or to, like, make people feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think something that I've always, like, loved to live by is, like, you know, work hard, play hard, right? Like, I think if you're gonna go out with the boys at night, you better wake up with the men in the morning, right? And that's what I want to embody in my content. Like, yeah, we go out and we do, like I said, Sleep When You're Dead tour with Brianna, and we're starting the day at 10 a.m. filming the podcast, going out on the beach for spring break, interviewing people, then going out, and we're staying out until, like, 5 a.m. in the morning, then catching a flight at 7 a.m. But then we're also getting back to L.A. and doing a whole day of work that day from 10 a.m. until 6 at night, getting our content up, doing our, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, we go out, but we're still getting shit done at the same time. So I think that's just, like, kind of what I always have wanted it to embody.
Yeah. And then how are you thinking about, like, dealing? I'm sure earlier on it was hard to deal with, like, the bullying that you had, like, with your content growing up. And then, like, now when you have, like, all these haters, like, how do you think about that now? And, like, how do you try to manage that? Because I think it does affect everyone, right? And, like, there's no way to, like, fully look past it. But how are you trying to, like, better live with what will come?
Yeah, I think my screen time is just so minimal now compared to what it used to be. Like, when I first started, I would check, like, all the comments, like, because I think it is important to, you know what your fans are thinking, or what they respond to versus, like, what they don't. But now that I have a taste for that, and I kind of am able to know what my fans want, I really don't spend a lot of time, like, looking at what people are going to say about my content, because at the end of the day, I'm posting what I want to post. So it's like, if you want to see it, come follow my page, like my shit.
Totally.
If you don't, I mean, get off my page. I don't really care. Totally. So that's kind of the mindset is that's, like, taken over me. It's like, I have a timer on every single one of my apps where it's like, I have 30 minutes to spend on the app a day. And then it's like, I'm off. So it's like, that gives me enough time to
cheat?
Like,
you don't add a little more time?
I sometimes do add more time. Like, I'll add 15 minutes, right? But it's like, even if it's adding that 15 more minutes, the thing is, it's a conscious decision that I'm making where it's like, okay, I'm adding another 15 minutes to my time today. And it's like, why am I adding that 15 minutes, right? So then I have to think about it. It's like, am I adding that 15 minutes because I'm, like, worried about a post and I want to go see what people are saying about it? Because if it's that, then I'm like, ah, shit, I put my phone away. I go, like, hang out with my friends, play Fortnite with Anthony, do something else, right? But if it's like, oh, I got to go post some more videos, get, like, work done, or go live or something like that, it's like, yeah, add time, do my shit.
Yeah.
But I just think that's, like, made me feel a lot better about myself, because, like, I don't really care about what Jimmy is saying from Connecticut about my TikTok video, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really bother me.
For sure.
When you linked up with Mark and kind of started CrossCheck and, like, the partnership there, what was that like? And then what sort of stories do you want to tell, or, like, things you hope to make with the studio there?
Yeah. I mean, dream come true, right? Having Mark Wahlberg be an idol of mine for, like, as long as I can remember. He's how does it, she's an escape artist or something. Like, is someone, like, intentionally doing this?
You guys,
is someone
not
just
do
like, hey, we're gonna keep
there
fucking with the podcast. Whoever's doing that, stop it. Anyways, No, yeah, dream come true. It's like getting to work with Mark Wahlberg. I always looked up to him as a kid. Like, yeah. I used to like go out in my backyard and reenact his movies with all my friends. So now to get to have him kind of give us that stamp of approval, right, and be like, yeah, these guys are legit. Yeah, it's just amazing. Stories I want to tell. I love being able to tell true stories or make these motion pictures about an event that really happened. Mm. So I think going after people's life rights and really trying to obtain that IP is the direction I want to go in. And then I've loved cartoons like since I've been a little kid, just obsessed with cartoons, like every weekend still to this day. Like it's like I Sundays I'm going downstairs grabbing a fat bowl of cereal and then I'm going to my bed and I'm watching cartoons for like 3 hours. Like it's just like it's got to happen. So I think I've like a dream of mine is to produce an anime. Yeah. and then also like some type of cartoon as well.
That'd be sick. In terms of the life rights, is there someone who you have like a dream to tell their story or like someone who's been a huge inspiration to you?
Yeah. I think to do the Wayne Gretzky doc would be like absolutely mind-blowing thing. Yeah.
Does he have any docs?
No. Wow. Has done anything.
So. Have you met Wayne before?
Yeah. That's
sick.
I have. So.
Sick. That's amazing. Mm. Well, we appreciate you coming on. There's two questions we ask every guest. One is if you could nominate anyone to come on the show, share their mental health story, whether you know them or not, but you know that they have some powerful story to tell, who would it be?
One person, eh? I think someone that's actually in has not only like faced a lot, I think, with mental health, but actually have figured out their way to really like find themselves, I would say is Griffin Johnson. I think he moved to Florida from LA. He kind of was here for 2 years, realized I don't think it was really for him. And now he's living out in Florida, fishing all the time, doing his thing. But I think, yeah, he's definitely someone that I think would be an interesting person to talk to.
Love that. Yeah, for sure.
Mace? And lastly, Joshua, what makes you mad happy?
What makes me mad happy? I would say just, you know, going out with the boys, doing absolutely anything. I don't care if it's like going out to a club at night, going out to play puck, going out to the gym, doing anything. I just love like going out and hanging out, being social.
Love it. Well, yeah. Thanks so much for the conversation, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing, and we're excited to keep following and supporting.
Thank you. Hell yeah.
Peace out.
Peace.
Thank you so much for listening. Really, really hope you guys enjoyed this one. It was great to have Josh on. Appreciate him letting us into his home. Shout out his dog, which you probably heard a couple of times during the episode. We really enjoyed it. We hope you did too. Let us know what your favorite part was. Please leave us reviews on Spotify and Apple, and we'll catch you next week where we talk about, you guessed it, mental health again. Peace.
The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.